Come run, come all, come heed our loving call and listen in your youth. Come run, come all, you're needed big or small to learn the tales of truth. For we are in a battle and join as warriors of light. Come run, come all, stand nobly brave and tall, and join this glorious fight.
Hey, Chicken Lickens. We're going to continue our story today about some things that Nephi has to teach us. So we just finished hearing some teachings from Isaiah, and now we're going to hear from Nephi. So he says that the Book of Mormon would be of great worth to many people in our time. Do you have something that is of great worth to you? Something that you could never imagine selling or giving away? I feel that way about the Book of Mormon. And here is a quick story about our prophet, President Nelson. One time, he gave a Book of Mormon to an African king who loved the Bible. The African king said, "Oh, you could have given me diamonds or rubies, but nothing is more precious to me than this additional knowledge about Jesus Christ." You see, the Book of Mormon was of great worth to this king, and I hope it's of great worth to you too. Nephi hoped that the Book of Mormon would be of great worth to his own posterity, since so many of its words and prophecies talk about them. Nephi said that in our time, different churches would get into fights about which one was really run by Christ. And he said their leaders would get into fights and their members would get into fights and arguments because each one thought that they were part of Christ's true church. This definitely happened around the time that Joseph Smith was growing up, which is why he even prayed in the first place to ask God which church was really true. The sad thing is that all the churches out there that are not run by Jesus Christ end up denying his power and the Holy Ghost. They try to teach people that God does not perform miracles and that God's work on the earth is done. They say, "Oh, God's." A lot of churches today also like to spread that message that it's okay for us to eat, drink, and be merry. Or in other words, to do whatever we want, since we're all going to die anyway and everyone's souls will be okay no matter what we decide to do on earth. There are also many churches who spread the message that it's okay to do whatever we want, but that we should still respect God just a little bit. He will be okay with us sinning just a little bit, so it's okay to lie to others, but only if we're mostly honest. And it's okay to be mean to other people, but only if we're mostly nice to everyone. There's no eternal harm in doing these things, and God might get us a little bit in trouble, but he will still save us all in his kingdom because he loves us so much. Oh boy, do you guys know what Nephi had to say about these teachings? He called them false, vain, and foolish doctrines. Do you guys think that God is okay with even just a little bit of sin if we are mostly good people? Well, although many people believe that he is, I'm here to tell you that he definitely is not. No unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. No one who is okay sinning even just a little bit would feel very comfortable living in Heavenly Father's eternal home because he himself is completely clean and completely perfect and has no space in his kingdom of light and love for any sin or darkness. He would not allow it. So to believe that just a little bit of sin without repentance is okay is wrong. Well, unfortunately, these churches throughout the world will be full of prideful people who don't want to turn to Jesus. And unfortunately, they'll help Satan trick many others to believe the same incorrect things. They all end up loving fancy things and riches more than they love the Lord and his truth. The Lord warns the wicked time and time again that they need to repent if they want to live in heaven someday, and he promises them that they will be destroyed if they do not. But they won't feel misery because God likes to punish his children. Oh no, they will feel misery because wickedness can never bring people happiness. And the Lord allows them to feel misery because sometimes misery can help people find out for themselves that what they've been doing hasn't been bringing them happiness. And so they decide to turn away from wickedness to repent and draw closer to the Lord, which is exactly what he wants. But if they don't repent, then unfortunately, Satan binds them with chains until it becomes harder and harder to escape from him and repent. Well, Nephi takes some time to prophesy about some ways that Satan will get power over people in our day. Some people allow Satan to fill their hearts with rage until their angry hearts are stirred up to fight against anything good in this world. Some people listen to Satan's soft lies that everything they are doing is okay, even when it's wicked, and they will mistakenly believe that they have nothing to change. In this way, Satan very sneakily and carefully leads people to hell. He also likes to whisper lies in people's ears and tell them that hell doesn't exist, so they have nothing to worry about. No punishment is waiting for them because of their wickedness. This is another way that he slowly grasps people with his awful chains until they can never break free. They'll have to stand before God someday to be judged of their works, and their wicked works will prove that they must suffer. Nephi says, "Woe," or misery, unto those members of Christ's church who think that they don't need to work on becoming better people. Woe unto anyone who thinks that all is well, even when they listen to men more than God and deny his power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Woe unto those who think that they don't need to seek any more revelation or words or miracles from God, thinking that they have enough. And woe to those who get angry with God's truth. Those who make Christ the foundation or the center of their lives will receive his truth and joy with gladness. But those who build their lives around false teachings will fall, just like the houses built on sand will fall and crumble. Nephi taught, God says that he will give revelation to his children a little bit at a time, and if they receive it, he'll give them even more. But if they reject it, then he will take their knowledge and revelation from them. God said, I will be merciful to those who repent. You see, I leave my arms stretched wide open all day long to receive anyone who wants to come to me. Isn't that wonderful? I love imagining myself being wrapped up in a big, warm, loving hug from Christ each time I repent. Well, the Lord then spoke to Nephi and said, Unfortunately, at the time that I will start to gather Israel, just as I have promised to, and at the day that the Book of Mormon is published, there will be many people who will say, A Bible? A Bible? We've already got a Bible. There cannot be any more Bible. Or in other words, they won't want any more scriptures. But I say that I do have more scriptures to give to the world in addition to the Bible. I indeed gave them the Bible, which came from the ancient Jews. But I say, aren't you grateful for the Bible? I don't understand why you wouldn't want more scriptures if you say you love the Bible. Don't you remember all the trials that the Jews went through? Aren't you grateful that I've restored the gospel on the earth through the Gentiles? And have the Gentiles appreciated the Jews for the Bible that they wrote? No! The Gentiles have cursed the Jews and have hated them. Well, I will turn these curses and hatred back on their own heads, because I will never forget my covenant people, the Jews. Only a fool would say, A Bible? We've already got a Bible and we don't need any more. Don't you know that you wouldn't have a Bible if it weren't for the Jews, this nation that you have hated? And don't you understand that there are more nations than just the Jewish one? I have created all humans, and I remember them all, even the ones who live on islands throughout the world. I rule over all my creations, and I have the power to give my words and scriptures to any nation that I want to. So why in the world are you complaining because I want to give you more scriptures? Don't you understand that the testimony or scriptures from two nations, not just one, are proof to you that I am God and that I remember all my nations? I give my same words and teachings to all nations, and I just so happen to give you scriptures from two different nations that say the same things in order to help prove that I am God, and that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Please don't believe that just because I've given some of my words to one nation, that I'm done and won't give some of my words to other nations. My work on earth is not finished yet. So just because you have a Bible does not mean that it contains all the words that I have for you. I speak to men all over the world, and I have been speaking to men all over the world for a very long time, and I command them to write down the things that I speak to them. I give them my laws and truths so that I can judge all humans by their writings. You see, anyone who has read my commandments and does not keep them has no excuse for not keeping them, right? Well, someday, all nations of the world will have my writings and teachings from the other nations, all other nations of the world. And anyone who fights against my words and against my saints will finally see that I will gather Israel by my own power because I have covenanted and promised Abraham that I would do so. Oh man, it is so incredible that we get to live on earth at this time. There have been thousands and thousands of years full of people living on the earth who haven't had the Book of Mormon or its power in their lives. I am so excited for each of you who are listening to me to experience the power of the Book of Mormon for yourselves. Now, Nephi has some more words to say to us. He speaks to his posterity and he says, "You guys, don't you think for one moment that you are more righteous than the Gentiles will be in the last days? Anyone who doesn't keep God's commandments will perish, and anyone who repents and turns to Christ will become his covenant people, no matter if they're Jew or Gentile. Now, I have another prophecy about the Jews and Gentiles to share with you. After the Book of Mormon is published, many people will believe its words and will share it with our posterity. And then our posterity will be able to learn about us and how we came out of Jerusalem. And they will learn that they are descended from the Jews. And they will learn about Jesus Christ and feel so much joy. God will replace their darkness with his light, and they will become pure and delightsome. And the Jews, who were once scattered all over the world, will begin to believe in Christ too. And they will start to gather together and become delightsome as well. This will all be part of the Lord's work to gather Israel, and he will bless the righteous and slay the wicked. And, just as Isaiah taught us, the predators will lay down with the prey, and the earth will be absolutely full of peace and knowledge about the Lord. There will be no secrets or mysteries, and God will bless all people with wonderful, wonderful knowledge. And because of this, Satan won't have any power over our hearts for a long time. For 1,000 years, the entire millennium. You remember how millennium actually means 1,000 instead of 1,000,000? Well, that's the end of our story for today, little chickies. Until next time, I hope you have a beautiful life. Bye-bye.